Thank you. And I apologize for the delay. There is a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Yesh boite kematko ischarev, uloshen chachomim marpei." Some people speak very bluntly. It is like a piercing of a sword. But uloshen chachomim, the language of the wise, is marpe, is healing. So, one thing we learn from this pasuk, that there is a special loshen, a special language called loshen chachomim. What does it mean, loshen chachomim? A language of the wise. There is like a sort of a language on its own. It's called loshen chachomim. You know, many times we have, especially in Ramat Beit Shemesh, some people who want to sound Israeli, like Americans, or try to be part of the Israeli society. And there's some very funny incidents that I'm sure everyone can share. I had once a student who was hitchhiking from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. So I stopped the car with some yeshiva guys. So I asked them, Lefo ata rotze lagia? Where do you want to go? So he said, Ani rotze lagia lehar kof. So they all burst in laughter. So he says, why are you laughing at me? I want to get to har kof. They realized that har nof is not har kof, and har kof is the mountain of the monkey, and har nof is a scenic mountain. So Pasha didn't make the difference. I remember my daughter was once standing in the bus station, and a lady asked her, "Kama zman at omeret po?" So she says, "Shana." She thought she said, "Lomedet." Wasn't enough given. Yeah, I have a really interesting incident with Avi Shulman. Rabbi Avi Shulman told me once he came to Israel, and he wanted to sound like an Israeli. So there was three guys in the apartment, and they had a problem that some ants showed up, you know, and they wanted to exterminate the ants. So Rabbi said to me, he says, I was the brave one. I was going to go to the store, to the tambour store, and I was going to get some real good stuff to exterminate the ants. So I came to the store, and the guy said, "Ma ata rotze?" What do you want? He says, "Ani rotze mashu kaze laharog gemalim gdolim." So the guy says, "Ata mishuga? Yesh lecha gemalim babayit?" Ken, yesh li gemalim gdolim." Says he didn't have till finally explained there's a difference between gemalim and nemalim. Anyway, those nuances, the reason I mentioned those.
Thank you very clutch.
Huh?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. So because you see that one letter, one nuance can change the whole meaning of the statement, right? So when it comes to languages, nuances are very important. I'll give you an example from Halacha, which I used before. A guy goes to shul and he hears the Rav gives a drosha in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kol hakoyes kilu oyved avodah zorah." Somebody gets angry, he's just like one who worships idols. And the next thing, a few days later, the guy comes over to the Rav and he asks him, he says, "I heard your drosha. I happen to go to India to make a very big deal, which may mean the main business deal of my life. But the guy who I'm doing the deal with is an Indian who worships idols, and he insists that the deal should be signed in the Indian temple. Problem is that when you enter the gate of the temple, there is a gachka, there is a idol, and you have to bow down to it, otherwise they don't let you in. So before I was very bothered by it, but after I heard the drosha, I made like this, a cheshbon like this. Said, you know, if I'm not going to make this business deal, I'm going to get very angry. So I figured if getting angry is equal to worshiping idols, I may as well worship the idol and at least not get angry. So it's equal averus. The Lord looks at him like it comes from Mars. There is a huge difference. If you say ke'ilu over David Zohar, what does it mean ke'il kol ha'koyes, whoever gets angry is like an idol worshiper? Does it really mean that you're an idol worshiper? That would be ridiculous. Idol worshiping, you have to be moiser nefesh. You have to, it's one of the gimel averes, you have to give up your life for it. So what do you mean? It's of course, Chazal are trying to tell us, and that's one of the methods of conveying messages in the Gemara, in the Torah. It's called dramatization.
Guzman.
We'll soon get to that. So the idea is that Chazal want to tell us that to get angry is very, very bad, and it has an element of idol worshiping. What's the element of idol worshiping? Different ways to look at it. Basically, what it is that when a person worships idols, he gives himself over to another authority. When a person gets angry and he loses control, it's equal to the mentality of an idol worshiper. He loses himself and he gives himself over to another authority called anger. So there is a similarity. And Chazal want to drive the point to tell us how terrible it is. Tell us, Keilu, there is an element of Avodah Zorah, of course. But to equate it with Avodah Zorah Mamish, that would be absolutely ridiculous. Chazal tell us, for instance, if somebody is Marbim Pnei Chaveroi, Borabim, so it's Keilu Shefech Domim, is a killing. Somebody has a choice to embarrass his friend or to kill him. It says it's the same thing. Chazal tell us, I tell you clearly, the halacha is that you have a choice between embarrassing someone and killing him. Don't kill him. Embarrass him. He would rather you embarrass him than kill him. But it's a davar poshut. It's davar she'aseichel mechayev. Okay. So tonight I wanted to touch upon two subjects. One is strange statements that we find in Chazal that we have a difficult time understanding them. And as much as we try to understand them, we still don't understand them. How do you deal with it? What's the proper approach? And what's wrong with us? Right? Is there something wrong? That's point number one. And the second segment is the question, which is, we know the terrorist Torah Semis, we spoke about it before, the seven wonders of terror for Judaism and so on. Terrorist Torah Semis, and not on Torah Semis. How in the world is it possible that this Torah that we are so proud of it being Torah Semis would have exaggerations, would have things which aren't real? Is it possible? And if it is, how is that explained? So those are the two points. And we're going to begin with the first segment, which is, we find in Chazal some statements which are very difficult to make sense of. And the Maharal in Be'er HaGoyle has a whole explanation, beautiful explanation. It takes many, many of those very unexplained Ma'amor Chazal, and he shows one by one how, if you have Seichel, if you understand a little bit of the depth of what Chazal meant, not only it's not strange, but it is incredibly satisfying, it is brilliant, and it deals with the core of humanity and what it is to live in this world. But before, let me introduce a Gemara in Brochus. Gemara in Brochus says like this. Omar Rav Chisde says, "May dechsiv," it says a posuk, "Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkenos Yaakov." Hashem loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings, the Mishkenos of Yaakov, of Jacob. So Chazal say, on this posuk, which is in Tilim Pei Zayin, posuk Beis, so Chazal say like this: Oyev Hashem she'orim hametzuyonin ba'aloche. The Tzion is not referring to Zion, as in Zionism or as in Tzion v'Yerushalayim, but Tzion is Loshen Asei Lechot Tzionim. When I write notes, I call it Tzionim. Tzionim are notes. Tzionim are something which are marked, markings, something which is specific. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves gates which are specifically defining halacha. Yoiser mibotek neisiyos mibotem edroshis. More than the yeshivas, the shuls, all of them put together, from all of them, Hashem loves the most the she'orim hametsuyonim ba'alocha, the gates which are specifically dealing with the definitions of halacha and the psak halacha. That's what Hashem loves the most. And the Gemara continues. Chie bar Ame said the name of Ule. Miyoyim shechor beis hamikdash ein lo ila kadosh baruch hu elo dalet ame shel halacha bilvad. This is already a stronger statement that he says in the name of Ule. Chie bar Ame said the name of Ule. That kadosh baruch hu ein lo beolomoy. Kadosh baruch hu doesn't have any world since the destruction of the beis hamikdash. He doesn't have any world other than dalet ame shel halacha bilvad. Only the four cubic amos, right? That's what Hashem has. Very strange statement. And what does it mean? Number one, why does Hashem love Shorim and Tzorim Malacha more than other? Why does Hashem discriminate? Terror is terror, learning terror.
Practical.
And also, in Bottom Midrashis also, you learn Halachas also. What exactly is the purpose of the statement? And the second part is even harder to understand. What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any swoon. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have Yerushalayim. He doesn't have New York. He doesn't have Tel Aviv. Kadosh Baruch Hu has in his world only Dalet Ame Shel Halacha Bilvad. That sounds to be very, very blunt, very extreme. What exactly does it mean? Okay, so the first thing that we have to understand is the following. You know, people ask me, especially students ask me many times, once they get introduced a little bit to Torah, to Yiddishkeit, they say to me, Rabbi, it's not fair. It's not fair. I read that in the olden days there were a lot of prophets. And a person has a problem, went to the prophet, Rivka didn't know what to do, Vateilech Lidosh Hashem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu told her prophecy. Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael. Chazal say there were 24,000 Nevim and 48,000 lady prophets, Chofches, Alof, different Gersos in the Gemara, but there was thousands of Nevim, thousands. Can you imagine? You have a problem, you know what to do. People go today to all kinds of from rabbis to psychologists to all kinds of professionals. You had a problem, went to the Novi. What should I do? I don't know what it is. The Novi told you, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do X, Y, Z. It was a Mechayim. So the push is not fair. It's not fair. Nowadays, we don't have Nevuah. So why don't we have Nevuah? It's a good thing, because spirituality had declined, and therefore we don't have Nevuah. So I respond to them that it is not so. We have prophecy. We have prophecies today also. And you don't have to go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You don't have to go to... We have prophecy. What's the prophecy? What is prophecy? Let's analyze for a moment. What is prophecy? Prophecy is Novi Loshen Havoe. The Novi brings to us the word of Hashem. Hashem has a message to us. The Novi brings it to us. If it's a Novi Emes, it's true. It's a Novi Sheker. It's false. It's not true. Tells us how to detect somebody who gives false prophecy. Okay. So now, there are different kinds of prophecies. The Chazal say that there were many prophecies. Most of the prophecies were not even written because it was not really relevant, Lederes. It was relevant to the time. The things that were written down was by the great prophets. It was relevant for generations to come. Many times today, we discover that the Novi said so and so, and we realize that that's what it meant. there's someone in Bnei Brak who issued a sefer nevuas, and he goes down all the nevuas in the Torah to show when it was mekuyim, and now some will not mekuyim yet, some will be mekuyim, some won't mekuyim, and so on. Okay, fine. But the nevuah basically means dvar Hashem. You bring the word of Hashem. There is a nevuah called nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it says a nevuah prophecy. The uniqueness of this prophecy is that it was relevant for the time, it was relevant for the future, it is generic for all of Klal Yisrael, and it is also specific, individualized to every Jew. How so? The Torah tells us what will happen with Klal Yisrael. The Torah tells us what Klal Yisrael is obligated to do in a public way and what every Jew is supposed to do. Now, if a Jew wants to have a specific analysis of his condition, in the old, that's the only difference. In the olden days, he went to the Novi, and the Novi told him the current analysis of his matzev and what he needs to do, his situation. But short of that prophecy, we have a prophecy. A Jew doesn't know what to do. So you know what we tell him? Open up a Shulchan Aruch. Open up a Mishnah Berurah. You don't understand the Mishnah Berurah. You don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. You have a problem with Shulchan Aruch. It's something that's not brought in the Shulchan Aruch, or not even the Shmira Shabbos Kilchosa. So you go to the local Rav. What happens if your local Rav doesn't know? He goes to his Rav. What happens if his Rav doesn't know? He goes to Rav Eliashiv, right? He goes to the higher, right? That's how it goes. It is impossible for a Jew not to know what to do. That's the truth. It's not shaykh. It's only possible for a Jew not to be aware of what the halacha is he should do. It's a lack of knowledge, a lack of accessibility to the halacha. In the Torah, there are all the laws in any given situation. But there are some halachic situations that were not decided. There are halachas, what to do when you don't know what to do. If it's a safek d'oraisa, safek d'rabbanan, there's a contra spheres, there's always halachas. There's no such a thing not knowing what to do. It's only I don't know what to do because I'm short of knowledge. So there's halachas, what to do when you don't know what to do. And obviously, if it's accessible to go to a greater Pesach, you go. And if not, there's halachas. Safek d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, it's all set of halachas. But that's what halacha is. Halacha is poshet nevuah. It is a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you, you shall do X, Y, Z. Because Ayid is mechuyev to go b'chukoy saite lechu. There's nothing to talk about. That's what you need to do. Okay. Now, so the pshat like this. Miyoyim shechorah beis hamikdosh. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein lo la HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olamoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have in his world now a way to communicate with his children other than halachas. It says that when the Beis HaMikdash was chorev, the Ruach HaKodesh was taken away, the Nevuah was taken away, different parts, Beis Rishon, Beis Sheni, Al Kolpanim, when the Beis HaMikdash was chorev, Kol Zman the Beis HaMikdash was there, there was either Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh, which is a lower level of Nevuah, of prophecy. But
why
not...
the second Beit HaMikdash, there was no Nevuah, no?
There was no Nevuah, no. No real Nevuah. But it was Ruach HaKodesh, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. Ruach HaKodesh. There's a discussion in the Poskim whether there is Ruach HaKodesh nowadays or not. Some say there isn't real Ruach HaKodesh, only a reflection of Ruach HaKodesh. Some say that there's no Ruach HaKodesh coming, but in some special people in the generation, it's still possible to have Ruach HaKodesh. There's different opinions. Okay, fine. But certainly, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to the average Jew is only through Halacha. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oyev. You have to understand what the Pshat. Oyev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the She'or Malzeva, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yidden. We say the bracha tonight in my Ma'ariv, we'll say Baruch Atah Hashem Oyev Amo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and he wants to communicate. Unfortunately, we caused the situation that he cannot communicate with us directly, with Nevuah. So unfortunately, we sort of put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a position due to our spiritual decline that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to communicate that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so happy, at least I have one way that I could communicate. I can tell my Kinderlach, I want you to do so and so. How? Look at my Shulchan Aruch. Very good. So, Mimele, we understand that that in Halacha, there is no such a thing as not knowing what to do.
What about things that like Machloket, Achronim, Masopolsky?
There are rules of how to deal with it.
Some guy could say this way is it and this way is it.
There is a halacha that you have to asay lechorav, you have to make yourself a rov, and you follow his psogim. That's it. It's very clear. You have a Supreme Court in California that paskens one way, Supreme Court in Michigan. The halacha is in Hilchas Medina that if you live in Michigan, you're obligated to listen to the court in Michigan. And if not, if you live in California, that's the law. The same is in Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem. No, it's not something they Odom. In many ways, it's a Chazal say, HaKadosh Hazal Lochem. The Torah says, Lo Yisosu Yomin Yismoyim B'Kol Asher Ruchot. There's mitzvahs in the Torah, as we spoke about before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us instructions to listen to the Chachomim. He should go El HaShoifet Asher Yeh B'Yomim Moim. Chazal say, Yiftoch B'Doiroi, Ki Shmuel B'Doiroi. Yiftoch was on a way lower level than Shmuel Hanavi. But Yiftoch B'Doiroi, Yiftoch was the best person around at the time. So Yiftoch in his generation is Ki Shmuel B'Doiroi. That's it. It's according to the door. The leaders really reflect the door. If the door is zeichet to great leaders, it reflects that they were oile, right? If the door doesn't have leaders, it says it reflects on the door. That's what it is. But whatever it is, we are mechuyev to listen to our leaders. And it says not to jump around. Look, some people shop around for rabbis, for kulas. That's where people get confused. But a person that follows the advice of the Torah, of the halacha, that you have to make yourself a rov, and you ask him all your shailes, then you have nothing. You can go to sleep very well at night. Whatever he tells you to do, you do. So,
everybody has to go point to Rabbi Perlstein.
Whoever the rov...
Maradat, I don't know, that's what
they... there's no such a thing B'Emes today as Maradat Asra, because there's no... Who appointed them to be Maradat Asra, there's no Sanhedrin, there's no... Whoever is a reliable rov, that has smicha,
okay.
Right? You choose whoever... You have Baruch Hashem Yerachoshev Rov, Rav Malinovitz, you daven the Shulir, is your rov, you go to this psokim, you daven the Ishkodesh, you go to Rabbi Shapir's psokim, that's the way it is. So that's what Klal Yisrael always had this thing. When people start mixing up and trying to you know, creating your own problem, everybody can cook his own problems. But Apitoret is no problem, Klal. If you have a Rov, and he knows what he's doing, he's a Bar Samcha, you have to go with the Rov. That's it. Okay. You're not mechuyev to outsmart your Rov. Okay. So, but what happens? What happens in the other Inyonim, in the Inyone Agode? There's sometimes that there is a very interesting medrash that on the surface makes no sense. Makes no sense. You try to understand it, you look up sources, and no one explains it properly, and you struggle with it. So what do you do then? The answer is, all my rabbis used to say when I was in Cheder, and it's a true statement, Funakashe Stabmenisht. You don't die from a kasha, from a question. You have to remember that. There are many questions. The world is full of questions. One of the beautiful things about the Gemara many times says kasha. The problem. We got a contradiction. And sometimes Rabbi Akiva comes and he figures out there's some exceptional great people who are able to crack through even the most difficult questions. The Vilna Gaon, some people were able to have this power. But the Gemara, I looked in my computer, I checked out, there's over 300 times in Bavli that the Gemara says Teiku. What's Teiku? The Gemara comes to a dead end. I don't know the answer. Teiku is the acronym of Tishbi, Yitaretz, Kushla. I don't know. There is no such a in the vocabulary of a bentere, if a person understands as mami memunas chachom, there's no such a thing as Chazal were wrong. Whoever speaks like that didn't go to cheder, didn't go to yeshiva, doesn't have a rebbe, doesn't have a maseret. There's no such a thing. Everything makes sense. In Gemara, in yeshiva, if a guy comes and says, "Zamachlag zavayin rove," he says, "Ah, Abaye makes so much sense." Rove, completely nonsense. You know that the guy's an amoretz. The whole work in learning Gemara is to figure out, why don't I understand rove? If the Gemara included rove, it means that his side made perfect sense. Yet there is another side. Every side makes sense. Who ultimately is the halacha? That's a good question. That's a shaila. But the point that I want to make like this, if you look in the Mishneh Berurah, if you look in Tosfos, if you look in any of the commentators, if they come to a dead end, v'tema, it's a question. V'tzorich iyun, and I need to look further into it because I don't understand it. Loi zochisi leovin, I am the problem. I am short-minded. I am not able to crack through. I can't understand it. What do you do after that? You can go to sleep comfortably. Because you're not obligated to know the answer. You are, every Jew is obligated to try to understand. But you're not obligated to come up with the answer. And if Chazal didn't come up with the answer, it's fine, you also don't come up with the answer. Tish be yitare, tish be yabayis. One day we'll find out the answers. As scientifically also, 20 years ago we didn't know a lot of things. Today we think that we know more. And in 20 years, we realize that what we know today was so accurate. That's the way it goes. Remember Dr. Gottlieb once told me, he says that he asked a professor in Harvard, he says, what are the chances that the theories that you teach today, your students, will be true in 5 years from now? So the guy was thinking, he's an honest guy, he says, I think maybe 50% chance. 5 years! That's how science runs so fast nowadays. That what he's teaching now, there's only 50% chance that what he's teaching now will be correct. Okay? That's the way it is. Because the Chochmah Sabeira, the wisdom of Hashem, is layer beneath another layer, and so on. So that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. It's Chochmah Ein Soif. There's no end to the Chochmah.
With the Chidush HaKodesh. Thing, Rabban Gamliel, he knew the exact thing, and NASA was further away.
Right.
Now 20 years, they're
correct,
coming closer to
that's right,
to Rabban Gamliel's figuration, and maybe he's even right. He's closer, maybe a couple of zeros after
right,
the thing,
decimal
after
points,
the
right,
decimal point, but he's more closer to
that's
the,
right. So what we know. What we don't know, one of the most beautiful things we spoke about before, that a Yid is called Yehudi, because after Shevet Yehuda, not after other Shvatim, because Yehuda was Hoido Veloy Boish. Klal Yisrael has the koyach, on one hand, to be very stubborn and to research, and on the other hand, at the same time, to live fine with unsolved dilemmas. Because we know in our humility that our minds are limited. So that's where Emunah comes in. Emunah v'yodato ayoyim, you have to research and to know to the degree that you could. The moment you feel that I don't know anymore, that's fine too. That's Emunah. At that point, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wiser, certainly more than you, and Mimele, that's how you deal with it. Okay. Okay, so that's part one that I wanted to have as the beginning. Now, part two of our discussion has to do with what we call guzmois. Guzmois means exaggerations or things that seem to be inaccurate in the Torah. Okay. So the question as we asked before is, how is it possible? How is it possible, if Torah is Teras Emes, how is it possible that our Torah should contain something which are inaccurate? So, as I said in the introduction, in every language, there are nuances. Many times, South African Jews speak to me, and I have a hard time, I have to ask them, what did they say exactly, because the accent really, right? And sometimes one word, you know, what they say in England when you go by the subway, it says, mind the gap, you know, for the subway there. mind the gap. If you're not English, what in the world are you talking about, right? But you have to realize it's a gap. How would you say it in English? Mind the gap?
Mind the gap.
You're from England. Okay. How do you say it in America? They would never write something like this, right?
Keep distance.
Keep distance or whatever. Mind the gap is like, you know, you don't know what they're talking about. So it's, and it's English. Suppose it's English, the same language. In the same language, you have those different nuances. And you have to know how to read, you have to know how to speak. Story that happened in Detroit, that a lady was a little not so learned, so she called her little daughter, she said, a little son, she says, come, Nazmo King, come here. So she says, Nazmo King? She says, that's a very unique name. She says, why in the world did you name your son Nazmo King? She doesn't know, she's in the delivery room, she was that, so she was there and she was like in a daze, and she says, she saw a sign on the door, it says, Nazmo King. It says, no smoking, right? But to her it was Nazmo King, so she had a vision during the delivery, she called him Nazmo King, you know, for no smoking. So you can see with a little bit of a little nuance how it changes the whole meaning. But if it's so in Divrei Chulin, in things which are not holy, and you have to be careful, Allah has come over when it comes to Divrei Torah. First, we know that we spoke about Shivim Ponim LaTorah. We said that the Torah has 70 different layers of wisdom. There is what we call Pardes, right? What's Pardes? Pardes is an orchard. Pardes is the way we explain that the Torah has four levels. The Pei is for Pshat, or Pirush, or Pshat, Pashat, Pshat, the simple level. Then you have Remez, which is the Reish, and then Drush and Soid. Right? So Pardes, Remez is a hint, right? A hint could be in many ways, could be a gematria, numerical value, in many other ways. Drush is extrapolation, extrapolate from the text, and Soid is the secret, Pashat, you know, that's Kabbalah, the secret. Someone once says that the greatness of the Bible is not the fact that it's a bestseller, but it is that it's a bestseller of all of humanity, of all the ages, and for all ages. Okay? You have a child going to Cheder in Lanos Chumash, he loves the stories, it makes sense to him, right? You have an adult, you have somebody, a teenager who can get tremendous inspiration from some stories, from Tehillim or whatever. You have a person who is 35 years old or 65 or 85 or 100 years old. Everyone relates to the Torah on a different level. The beauty of the Torah is that it's multifaceted, even on the Pashat Pshat, even on the simple. I'm not talking about Kabbalah and the deeper things, which of course it is. But the Torah is unique in that it's taka amazing. Non-Jews, you have the Bible Belt, you have people, Poshet, you have billions of people who Poshet get tremendous inspiration and chizuk from what? Poshet reading, Poshet the Psukim, right? Talking about simple, honest people who really want to feel spirituality. There's a klal in the Torah that ein mikro yoytzei midei pshutoi. Even if there are droshes, even if there are all kinds of extrapolations, it still has to make sense. Pshutoi. Ein mikro yoytzei pshutoi. That's why Rashi many times says, Vani loy bosi ela lefarish pshutoi shel mikro. Mashmoes ha-mikro. Rashi comes to teach us to learn poshut. It should make sense on the surface of how you learn poshut pshat. So let me share with you some very interesting quotations in the Gemara, and then we'll see what the Rambam writes about this, and we'll get a little feeling for. Okay, there's quite a few examples, but just a few. The Gemara in Chulin says like this: Nan osam tapuach oyo beemtza mizbeach. In the middle of the altar, there was a tapuach, was like a bump, looked like an apple.
Not an apple, it means like something that's tapuach, inflated.
Inflated, right. A round thing. Tapuach is called tapuach because it's inflated, because it looks inflated, right? Same thing, same idea, right? So our koponim, it says, pa'omim hoyu olov kishloish meyos kur. Sometimes it was so much deshen, the leftover from the burning of the Mizbeach, there was on it 300 kur. 300 kur is a humongous amount. It's like much larger than the whole Mizbeach. Way many times over. Omar Rove says, Guzmo. It's a Guzma. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Omar Rabame said, Dibro Toiro Loshon Havai. The Torah speaks in a way, Loshon Havai means. In an inaccurate language, it's a language of dramatization, if you will. Dibru Nevim Loshon Havai. The Nevim also spoke Loshon Havai. Dibru Chacham Loshon Havai. Zog Demor Hodamon. We said already one example of the Mizbeach. It was not really Shloish Meyos Kur. It was not 300 Kur. It was a large amount. Shloish Meyos is a language that you find many times, the number 3, which is used in Chazal, in Torah, to say a high number. But the Gemara says that even in the Sefer Torah, it says Loshon Havai. In other words, exaggerations. What does it say? It says, when the Meraglim came back, they said, Orim Gdoilosu Betsurois Bashomoyim. There are cities which are big and they are surrounded with walls that reach the heavens. We know to reach the heavens takes a long journey to reach the heavens, right? So what does it mean? It's Loshon Havai, it's exaggeration. Dibru Nevim Loshon Havai, it says Melochim, it says Vadiboka Oretz Lekoilom. The noise that the army made was so strong that the earth cracked from the voice. It's a Loshon Havai, it's an exaggeration. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Hanania Shmuel, Bishloisha Mekoyim is Dibur Chacham Loshon Havai. Eilam Tapuach, Geffen Uporos, Tapuach, we learned already before. Geffen, it says, Geffen Shel Zor, Voisho Emel Sapir Shel Yosef, it was a vineyard of gold in the opening of the Beis Hamikdash, Shumudla Agabe Klonsois. And the Gemara says, and it says, the Gemara says that Rab Lozo Ben Tzedek says that one time you needed 300 koyhanim, again 300 koyhanim to remove of what it was hanging on that vineyard. So the Gemara says it's a guzman. And Poroiches, the Poroiches in Beis Hamikdash, also, it says an exaggerated amount, how much it weighed and how much it was. It says that in order to be matbil the Poroiches, you need 300 koyhanim, which is also a gozman. I just want to share with you the following. First, I want to share with you a Rambam, and then we'll see later on some very interesting thing from the Be'er HaGoyle, from the Maharal. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, right? We are not the first perplexed generation. There was perplexed people in the time of the Rambam, and he wrote a sefer called Moreh Nevuchim. And in Moreh Nevuchim, he says like this: "Kvar isboer v'niglo me'ein sofek." It is clearly accepted without a doubt. Sheroiv nevuas anevim b'mesholim. Most of the prophecies of the Nevim is in a moshel, in a parable. Sha'akli bo zois pe'uloso. Rotzeloi marakoyach hamedame. There is an imaginatory power. Ve'ken tzorich shenoidia gamken me'inan ha'asholois ve'aflogois ve'aguzmois ma'at. It is a must that every Jew needs to understand the concept of borrowing concepts and ideas, and the aflogos means the large amounts, va'guzmois ma'at, and a little bit of exaggerations. She'ina yovoy me'em b'kisei sifrei hanevuah, some people would learn the Navi. If a person would learn Navi without understanding the lingo, what the intent is, somebody doesn't understand it's about term, about concept, then a person can come and learn Torah in a very far-fetched way, which is completely inaccurate. And he quotes the Gemara we just quoted before. Okay. He brings an example. It says, don't speak about other people for your own good. Because the bird of the heavens is Yoylech Esakoil. It's been literally the oifers are listening to you and they're going to speak Lashon Hara. It is a borrowed terminology, a moshul, that says that you should know there are things that bring you sound, what you say, in some very peculiar ways to other people. So be careful. But Oif HaShemayim Yoylech Esakoil certainly is not literally Ulufi Zenema Asher Kekoy Ba'arozim Govoy. Okay, so again, I don't want to go through all the things because he speaks a lot about this, but he says, I think that the punchline is maybe one example that we use. We sing a song, Horim ve'agvoy siftzichu lifnechem rino. The mountains and the hills will burst in singing, right? Ki besimcha, it doesn't mean that the mountains will literally open up the mouth and sing. So it says, the Rambam says, it's a devil poshet, you have to be completely unreasonable to believe and to say that this is poshet pshat. He says, Iftach Hashem lecho yisrael, tzorei atoiv es hashemayim. You know, now we're holding by Aseres Yemei Teshuva. We say, Avinu Malkeinu kosveinu b'sefer chayim. So he says the same thing. What's it? Imochu b'sefer chayim, kol ze al tzad ha'dimur. He says, loy sheyesh loy sefer l'Hashem yisboach, ichtov b'meimche. Because everyone doesn't have a book. Doesn't need books to write. He's in school. The teachers are right. Of course, he says, "Lo yishesh lo sefer l'shem izvah chichtov b'vimche kemoi she yachshevu oman b'yolto b'built yisharim mogem hasholim." He says, "Not like the Amoratsim people who are poshut don't know how to learn." V'akol mikasachas. The only says of a group of people who are unlearned people. They're not well versed in Torah. V'sokol mashal zochati al mashal zochati v'ev. He said, you are obligated to understand when you learn something, is it really a moshul? What is exaggerated? If you will learn it carefully, says the Rambam, then you will understand Torah properly. He says, in otherwise, if you don't do that, ובזוי שאנחנו נוצר מדימציס לא ימציא השם, ומדויס מגונויס, אפשר שיובי קצוסום לכפירה. You can become an apikeres, right? You're going to the smedrash, you're learning, and your learning can make you into an apikeres if you don't know those rules and those concepts. And again, there are many, many other examples of guzmois, of exaggerations. By Yosef Meikir Shabbos, the famous story that all the children know in school, it says over there that he bought that he got 13 floors of dinorim, and Rashi says Guzme Baalme, Tosis holds differently. But again, there are some cases which are debatable by the different. Authorities and so on, that's also legitimate. But the concept is what we are talking about. Okay. I want to stretch this concept to a practical level where people have a tremendous misunderstanding into what Chazal and Halacha mean. I'll choose an example which is a very controversial one and very misunderstood. You know, there's a halacha, for instance, in a Shavas Aveda. And the area that I would like to discuss is the area of relationships of a Jew and a non-Jew. Okay? Here in Eretz Yisrael is mostly with the Arab community, lately with the Russian, some of the Russian community are not Jewish and so on. In Chutz La'aretz is much more common. And I find that to be a perfect example where if you don't understand Chazal and if you don't understand the message of what the Torah gives us, we get a very distorted idea. Lamoshel, many times I learn with students, newcomers to Judaism, about the mitzvah of Asheras Aveda. We learn Eilu Metzias. And they ask, Rabbi, are you obligated to return an object, a lost object, to a non-Jew? So I tell them, no, you're not obligated. The mitzvah is to return the item to a Jew. To a non-Jew, you don't have a chiyuv. However, it's very interesting that we find in the Gemara, story after story, that the great sages, whenever they had a case that they found a lost item of a non-Jew, they returned it. The Gemara says a story about the donkey that had in it a diamond on the neck, and the seller didn't realize at the time the diamond was there. And he returned, right, returned the item. Many stories like this. So why did they do that? And why does the Gemara tell us? So first, we have to understand the concept. First, let me introduce more issues. For instance, the Torah says that to a non-Jew you lend with ribis, with interest. To a Jew, you're not allowed, right? Discrimination, right? But that's already from the easier things. I'll tell you where the real explosion comes. The real taram. And I remember I was once in a conference and somebody brought up the subject and it was non-religious Jews there, and you should have seen, well, it was a total disaster, a fiasco. Are you allowed to save a non-Jew who is in danger on Shabbos? Right? The halacha states that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to save a non-Jew on Shabbos if it involves Chilul Shabbos. It's a very sensitive issue. Very sensitive issue. Because of the nature of this sensitivity of this issue, Reb Moshe Feinstein comes up with an incredible chiddush, and he says that bizman hazeh, nowadays, not only are you allowed to be mechalel Shabbos for a non-Jew, but you are obligated to do so. And he says, especially a doctor, if he can arrange that a non-Jew should do it, of course. If he can get out of it, of course. But if he's in a situation where he is the only doctor there, and obviously he has to do the job, says Reb Moshe Feinstein, across the board, he should be mechalel Shabbos. That's a pshat. Says Reb Moshe, because today in the world of communication, it's poshet asakonas nefoshes for all of Klal Yisrael. Because the non-Jews will say the Jews don't care about non-Jews, and mimele, our blood will be mutter to them, and there'll be riots and pogroms and all kinds of things which we put besakonas Klal Yisrael. So Reb Moshe Feinstein came with a very.
If a Jew gets sick, then nobody was going to help him because they say, oh, you're a Jew, so you don't help other
that's
people.
That's absolutely correct. That's part of the argument that a Jew also, when a Jew will be in emergency, the goyim will say, you don't want to save us, we won't save you. That's correct. That's true, too. Okay. So, but the question really, on an honest level, how do you understand that? How do you understand that the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to save a non-Jew? Right? Life is the most important thing. Right? Why would the Torah tell us that you're not obligated to return a lost object to a non-Jew? Right? The answer is, it's a total misunderstanding. The Maharal in Be'er HaGoilo has a beautiful, beautiful explanation, and I'll read to you parts, because we don't have the luxury of time, it's late at night, you know, don't want to. It's some of it is technical, but I just want to share with you a few amazing insights of the Maharal, who speaks about this. The Maharal says like this: Da ki bnei odom al pidas teras moishe amekubu biyad chachomim nechlokim l'shoresh halokim. There are three parts of humanity, according to Torah. One is ha'om asher bochar by Hashem isboach be'ovois ubezarom achareim v'nosam toiro v'choyku mishpat moishe avdei. Klal Yisrael, the nation that Hashem chose, we chose Hashem, Hashem chose us. And Mimele, we have the Torah completely given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Then, base, there's a different category of people. She'ar b'nei Odom, she'enam b'chlal Yisrael. The rest of humanity, which is not including class, ashayochim b'toras Moshe. In other words, they're not including klal Yisrael, she'enam b'toras Moshe. U'mikol mokom, enam yoytzi min ha'roi, la'apach ha'keor ha'alpio, la'avo yitzulas Hashem izboch, asheru ha'koil. Those people are not Oiv David Zor. They believe in God, and he wants to serve God the way he understands. If a person accepted upon himself to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nikro Ger Toishov, that individual is a Ger Toishov. Even though this person is not keeping the Torah, that's called a Ger Toishov. And later on he says, it's not a Ger Tzedek. A goy, a non-Jew, that keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs Benoyach, is considered a Ger Toishov. The Jew is obligated to make sure to keep him alive, to help him out if needed. Okay, that's category number two. Category number three: Mibnei Odom eim oivdim avoyde zor pirush sheim oivdim zulas asim barishonu vechelik ze nikro b'shem goy stam. Ve'al ze niskan oleinu l'shabeach. Shelo yosonu kegoy arotzes. We say every day, thank you Hashem, that shelo yosonu kegoy arotzes. He says, however, there is a fourth level, which is not in the three. Omnei ishkas levi sheim haminim. Minim is apikosim. Ve'ein zecher le'elu b'nei odom b'chlal anivroim. Those people don't belong in the family of humanity. Because not only the oved aved zore, but they are insisting on making others and to turn the world upside down. ולפיכך מה שאמרו משפטי הגויים בפרקם שור של ישראל שנוגע שור של נוכל בינתם עמו את פוטו. חזל tell us that if a Jewish owned animal had gored, had damaged a non-Jewish animal, is potter from paying damages. Which goy are we talking about? Says the Maharal, we're talking about a goy, a non-Jew that belongs to the third category, which means it's a Oved Oved Zor. So let me explain the rationale. Let's understand what it means. It means like this. The beginning point of every Jew is that Hashem owns the world. Hashem is the owner, and he has a right to have conditions in which people have a right to breathe and walk and live on the face of this earth. The minimal conditions of walking alive on this earth is to keep the Shiva Mitzvah Benoyach, which is not to murder and not to steal and to, right? All the Shiva Mitzvah Benoyach. One who does not accept upon himself those Shiva Mitzvah Benoyach, Poshet al Pitera, has no right to live. We are not obligated to go out and kill him, but we are not obligated in any way to this person. Again, had forfeited his right to his property and to anything else because he poshet his. If the person is actively in the kas haminim,
who is actively is a Mesis and Madiach, then Klal Yisrael, when we have the power, when we have our own kingship, it is a mitzvah to fight them. Because that's just like a Molech. There's a Ra, those who bring evil and try to make other people
have it. So a Molech is like a fifth category. If you
want. A Molech is in the minim, but it's in the lower part of the fourth category. Oh. It's the lowest of the low.
What about Christians?
Christians are not, many Poiskim hold that Christians are not Oiv David Zohar. We pass in La Loch, we make it like this to do business with Christians even during the holiday season, according to some Poiskim. It's a debate. Muslims are certainly, interesting to say, Muslims are certainly not Oiv David Zohar. The vast majority of the Poiskim, kibat all the Poiskim, all that to be a Muslim is not Oiv David Zohar. Of course, it's wrong. Of course, it's a denial of the truth and so on, but it's not a Avodah Zorah. That's why, if you go to Hebron, you're allowed to daven Moras HaMachpelah, even though it's a mosque. Because a mosque doesn't make it a mokem of Avodah Zorah. You're allowed, but if a church would be on Moras HaMachpelah, a Jew would not be able to pray there. Not even enter it, that's a Malfi Alocha. Because it's Botei Aminim. The Christians is more complicated because even though it's a monotheistic religion, but still they believe b'shituv, they believe into a human being. It's a whole mishmash with the Trinity and so on. So over there, the shaila is a goy is mutter b'avodah zorah b'shituv. In other words, a goy, according to some opinions, is not obligated not to worship an intermediary. That he believes in God ultimately, but as an intermediary, that's a machlekes apreskim rishonim. If it's avodah zorah for a goy or not, fine. So the Christians are certainly a suffolk. According to some apreskim, they're not of avodah zorah. Ishmaelim, the Muslims are certainly not of avodah zorah. Avodah zorah is you have poshut lemoshul today. Like in India, there's still some real avodah zorah. But the Gemara said already in the time of the Gemara that avodah zorah shemechutz loret. Love of David is all. It's minag of them. It's not that they really are philosophically involved in the Zohar. They have it from generations before. They're not the real of David is all. Okay, so there's a lot of gray areas. But I want to explain the principle, the concept. You know, there is a very interesting balance here. On one hand, we find that Chazal tell us to stay away from non-Jews. That's why we have alochas. We have alochas of pasakum. We have alochas of stam yenom. We have gvinasa. All things are chokes to stay away, not to become too friendly, because that breeds intermarriage. But I want to explain the concept here. The idea is like this: that the emes, a Jew, according to the Ashkofa of Chazal, has to be worried and care about every human being, even if the human being is not a yid. There's an amazing sefona. The sefona says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Kriyas Yamsuf. It says Ve'yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. Ask the sefona, what do you mean? Mitzrayim were all in the water already. They were drowning. Says the sefona, there's some left in Mitzrayim. And maybe they will do tshuva. So one of the reasons why Hashem made Kriyas Yamsuf HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maybe even though they saw the Eser Makos and they didn't do tshuva, but maybe from Kriyas Yamsuf they will do tshuva. So the concern was not only for Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the concern was for the Mitzrim who were too lazy to pursue Klal Yisrael. Maybe they'll... I'll give you an example. Shvi Shel Pesach, we don't say Halal Sholem. We don't say full Halal. Why so? Because one reason. Because it says, well, actually, there's a few reasons, but the main reason brought down, main reason is because the Egyptians were drowning in the sea. And how is it possible for us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Maisei Yodai Tovim, the Malachim wanted to say Shiro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my people are drowning, my people. The Rishoyim, wicked people. But Maisei Yodai, after all, They're bad kids. They're terrible kids. But after all, Maisei Yodai, I created them. Toivim Bayam, and you say, Mele Klal Yisrael says Shire. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we were saved. But Malachim, you were not in danger. You have no right to say Shire. So Klal Yisrael doesn't say Halel. Halacha Lemaise. We do not say Halel in Shvi Shel Pesach.
Full Halel.
What?
We don't say full Halel.
We don't say full halal shvishal Pesach because we should be sensitive to the death of the Egyptians who wanted to kill us. It's incredible if you think about it. Because shvishal Pesach, you can't say full halal. That's why you don't say al cholamayed, because you don't want cholamayed to be greater than shvishal Pesach. During the Seder, we dip our finger in the wine and we take off and say Eser Makis. Why? Because after all, the Egyptians suffered. So not to lose the sensitivity, right? It's truly an incredible concept that a goy would never understand that. It says, Al tesayev mitzri ki geir oyisa be'artzoi. An Egyptian, an Ammonite or a Moabite cannot marry even generations later. But a Mitzri, after three generations, you can marry an Egyptian. Why? Ki geir oyisa be'artzoi. After all, they were hosting us for a while. And true that the end was terrible, true that they killed us. But after all, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to this. This is an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu stands when Klal Yisrael sins with the eagle. Listen to what he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lomo yoimru Mitzrayim. The Egyptians will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out laro goyisom b'orim. So, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find a better thing, a better schus of Klal Yisrael. The Egyptians will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed Klal Yisrael. So what? Who cares? They are low lives. Oiv David is Zore. The Shtufim is news. The pits of humanity. You know that this Taine was sufficient? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? You're right. It's mind-boggling. Just going. There is a mixture of emotions and feelings that people do not know how to differentiate. Many times you hear the expression people say, a shikse, a shegetz. It came from Europe because Jews lived together with them and they really wanted to educate the children not to mingle with them. Right? There was some value. There was some reason for that at some time. But on the other hand, it became a very distorted idea. So I explained to Moshe, why is it that a Jew is not obligated to give back a lost item to an non-Jew? Not obligated halachically. Of course, the spirit of the law, yes. But you're not obligated, right? Why? I explained, the Maharal explains that Be'emes, one who loses an item and it doesn't have control of it, it's not yours anymore. The definition, the Torah definition of ownership is as long as you are not meyash. Once you lost it and you have control, it's not yours. Therefore, the truth is that for a Jew, you would also not have to give back the lost item. That's Be'ikar Adin. Except being that Klal Yisrael is one big family, so the Torah says you are obligated to go out of your way for your brother and sister. That's why. It's not that the Goy is not a human being. The Goy is a human being, and a Jew certainly is a human being, and for a Jew you would also not have to return. But the Torah made an exception, right? Says the Maharal, the truth is that if your animal hurt another animal, the question is, who is the obligation of watching your animal from being damaged? Says the obligation would be on the owner of the other animal. You have to protect, make sure that your animal is not in danger. But the Torah says, for a Jew, we say go the extra mile and you pay him back the damages. That's how the Maharal explains it. Shabbos. The Gemara is a shaila bechlal if you're allowed to save a Jew on Shabbos. The Gemara is a havam, the Gemara is a thought that a Jew is in danger also should not be saved. Because Shabbos is one of the greatest principles of Torah. And it says it's like Avodah Zorah, Shabbos is like Avodah Zorah. Like, well, so Be'emes, a Jew also was not going to be saved. Chazal tell us that the Torah is mechadesh that mutav sheichal Shabbos achas, mechal one Shabbos, you know, you should be able to keep many Shabbos. That's once more. That's a vuchai bohem. There's a mitzvah Jew. It's not that the we don't care about the non-Jew. We care about Shabbos, and that's what Moshe Feinstein writes. A goy would never understand this kind of talk. To a Jew, it means a Jew sometimes is mechuyev to be moiser nefesh. So there would be a hava mina. The Gemara speaks about clearly that there is a thought in the Gemara, maybe a Jew cannot be saved on Shabbos either. The Gemara is mechadesh that yes, because the Jew has a certain holiness, so his holiness overrides the holiness of Shabbos. But in principle, the Emes a Jew also shouldn't have been saved on Shabbos, because Shabbos is so holy. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, he says, this is the condition, keep Shabbos. But the Torah says a chiddush that a Jew, but a non-Jew, okay. By the way, there's a lot of things. According to the Maral says that every non-Jew who keeps the seven mitzvahs Noach is a din of ger toshav. And if you look in the Mishneh Berurah and the Bir Halacha says that for a non-Jew who is a ger toshav, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, but you have to do it in the way of the Rabbonon. What's the pshat? You have to do a shinu. Okay, there's a lot of chilukei dinim and halachas. You have to ask your Rov. I don't want to pass in halachas here. But you look, the Mishneh Berurah says that a goy, the generic goy, who is an honest person, when and is mekabel sheva mitzvahs Noach, the emes we are mechuyev metzuv lach yosoi. It's a mitzvah to attempt to keep him alive, whatever you could. You mechuyev to give him tzedakah. You mechuyev to right. There's an halachas. I'll get a toshov. So the Maral says that a goy who is a ger toshov, even though he's not a Jew, but he is related to Klal Yisrael through Toiras Moshe. That's what Rambam says, because who established the Sheva Mitzvahs Noach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he has a chelek, a shtickle. Right? What do we say? It's amazing. Yom Kippur is coming up. What's the Haftarah of Yom Kippur? What's the Haftarah of Yom Kippur? Haftarah is Yoino in Minche. The Haftarah is Yoino. There is a whole Sefer of Yoino. What happened there? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Yoino HaNovi. Yoina HaNovi wanted to escape not giving the prophecy over because he was afraid that an angel with the tshuva will be a kittur on Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him this kikoyon, this thing where it was a very hot day, and then he took it away from him, and Yoina was very upset. He said he couldn't live, he was dying. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You're upset, right? Why are you upset? You're upset because this kikoyon, this bush, that one day was here, one day is not here. Va'ani lo yochus, and I should not care about Ninveh ho'ir ha'gdoylo. There are so many people who behave morabah, I shouldn't care." Why do we read in Yom Kippur? Why do we read in Yom Kippur? Chazal teaches tremendous seder satirin, you know. The idea is, it says, we say in the Musaf in Rosh Hashanah, we say, "Oleinu l'shabeach l'adin ha'koil." First, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not making us save David the Zohar. But then, "Al kei nekav aloha Hashem aleikeinu." We say, what is the hope? Three times a day, every one of us says it by tefillahs. Every tefillah is ending with "Oleinu l'shabeach." What do we say? "La'avir gilulim min oretz, v'olilim koresi koreisun, l'saki no'ilom emalchus shaka, v'chol bnei voso." Listen what we say. "V'chol bnei voso rikru v'shmecho. La'avir yisei lecho kol rishe yoretz." We daven, "Yakiru v'yeidu kol yishei sever." Imagine you're going in the streets of Iowa, or you're going in the streets of South Dakota, and you go in the street, when Mashiach will come, he asks the non-Jew, "How you doing?" He says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I can't wait to go to Jerusalem one day to pray to God in His temple." You know, I know the Syrian-based tefillah there is on the Parashas. "Ki beisi beis tefillah yikorei lechol ha'amim." People are confusing this thing. On one hand, you have to know to stay away from non-Jews and not to mingle with them, not chas v'sholem to adapt their ways. It's a terrible thing. And the Chazal, in their wisdom and their foresight, made halachas archokes. But on the other hand, you can't take it to the other extreme where completely to be mevatel a non-Jew is a tzelem elikim. It's poshet. It's an unbelievable thing. I'll close but just sharing with you a very interesting story that happened to me. I shared it with a group recently. I don't remember which group, but it's a true story. It was in I don't know if I mentioned this story with the University of Michigan with the students, the Palestinian students.
I don't remember, anyway, the beginning.
Tell a story. There's a two story where the students. I was Friday night at the University of Michigan, and I was somehow they found. I was giving a class about whose Jerusalem is it, and the Palestinian students came in, and they. And it's truly a surreal event that was truly unbelievable. And the Palestinian students who came to protest of a rabbi speaking about Jerusalem belonging to the Jews were there for an hour listening to a lecture, and then they were clapping, and they were agreeing with me to the degree that a student says to me, when you will get it according to you, will you allow me, I'm a Muslim living by the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem, would you allow me to pray in the temple? So I tell him this posik. I told him, it's a skibesi b'stfilo yikor l'chol ha'amim. But again, the point that I want to close with is really the nekuda is that there are tremendous misunderstandings in how to learn Chazal, and how to learn Guzmoyas in the Torah, and how to learn Poshet Haloches. People Poshet, you have to learn it with the Hashkofe of Amaral, of Gdoyle Yisrael, and you see that everything, it says, Mishpete Hashem Emes Tzodku Yachdov. If you learn it without the Hashkofe of Chazal, you can push it, have learned it. That's what the Rambam says, Meir Nevuchim. He says, you can learn Terah and become an Apikoris. Push it. You have to know the lingo, you have to have a Rebbe, you have to have Mesere, you have to learn from the Gdoyle Adres over the years. Some of them are not alive, so you learn the Sforim, some of those who are alive today, you learn from them, and you see how beautiful the Torah is, Teras Emes, and again, if you come to a point, as we said before, where in Agoda we are not certain what the Pshat is, we have to do our best to research it. But without understanding it, we know that there's a pshat and tishbi yitaretz kushyus v'abayis. From the little bit that we see, from the little bit the Maharal does explain, and we see, you see that you get a completely different picture if you only ma'ayin in the inyonim kedeboy. Hopefully that will be a schus for us for the upcoming Yom Noraim. We have one more evening to get together Thursday evening. I was supposed to speak about Chiyas HaMolek versus Tzar Bal Chaim. I don't know if the Olam wants to hear about this subject or you want to hear more. Some of the Gatay Yom Neroim. I'll leave it up to the Olam if you can direct me with. Can I stick to the original or there's some very interesting things about conflicts about Yom Kippur itself, how to understand Yom Kippur. Any ideas, any votes, any?
All in favor of Yom Kippur, raise your hand.
Ah, yeah? Yom Kippur?
All in favor of the original topic, Amalek and others?
It's a double edge.
Ah, so maybe we can do both.
Maybe we'll do it. Amalek who came to Yom Kippur.
No, by the way, it has to do with the Moloch or the eagle. It's a whole thing. Okay, maybe we'll do a half and half to make everybody happy.
We'll probably be down here Thursday night.
Okay.
Probably just lights are out and go
upstairs. Okay, thank you very much. Brocha v'atzlocha.
Why do you have to go in the hell? Good.